Welcome to the Women Shifting Gears podcast, driven by Hemmings. This is your home for inspiring conversations with women leading the way throughout the automotive spaces. I'm your host, Amanda Busick, and the power of this podcast is in the strength of this community. We believe that high tides rise all ships, and to each of you collaborating together to steer this ship forward, we see you, we recognize you, and we salute you. It's time to set sail. Another episode of Women Shifting Gears starts now.
With six championships and 100 podiums to their name, Kelly Moss is a formidable powerhouse in racing. As CFO and owner, Victoria Thomas oversees both the race and custom operations at Kelly Moss through a lens of opportunity and growth. And with a 350% increase under her belt, it's hard not to celebrate the success Victoria has delivered. However, it's not the success she chooses to celebrate, it's the failure and all of the personal development that comes along with it. Victoria joins us to talk about her path to now being the CFO and owner at Kelly Moss, managing an operation that is under full throttle, taking a road trip with Oprah, and to teach us not to find shame and guilt in our failures, but to embrace and celebrate their teachings. Your Women Shifting Gears podcast is driven by Hemmings.
Welcome to your Women Shifting Gears podcast, driven by Hemmings. This week's guest, we have Victoria, who is the CFO and owner of Kelly Moss. And Victoria, let's go right to the beginning for you. Where did this journey start?
Well, for me, I would say fundamentally, I came from an entrepreneurial family. And for me, I opened my very first business when I was 19 years old. I was putting myself through college and had to do a bunch of research to get myself a scholarship to keep going, and decided that that was a need out there in the world, that there were a lot of students that needed funding. And I opened my first business to help students get funding. And for all practical purposes, there's a lot of people that would say that was a failure. Clearly, I'm not continuing to do that. However, it was one of the biggest lessons for me in life in terms of how I define success and failure. That business taught me so much. It taught me, to begin with, about the fact that you need to research who your client is. And if they can't afford to pay you, it's probably not the best road to go down. But additionally, I learned so much from that. And it helped me figure out how I feel about success and failure and how incredibly important failure is to future success.
For some reason, I come across this quote more and more in life, but the fail forward and how someone uses failure to go into the next chapter. And, you know, it's just listening to this, I'm guilty of it, and I'm sure a lot of people are as well, but we attach success to a monetary assignment. Mm-hmm. That business that you had sound incredibly rewarding and life-changing for people that you came across. What from that business did you learn about yourself?
One of the things that I learned is I've never in my life been afraid to dive into something that I genuinely know nothing about. Another business that I owned is I owned a flower shop. I'd never worked a day in retail. I opened a flower shop and actually had it for, I don't know, 15 years, something like that, and had never worked a day in retail. It just never dawns on me to not. And a lot of that came from my mother was an incredibly powerful, strong woman that helped us believe in ourselves and additionally was an enormous force in terms of my empowerment as a woman. I very much believe that I open my own doors. And when you have any degree of victim mentality, you limit yourself, regardless of how true it may be. How you frame that to yourself defines your success. I would never allow myself to not be paid what I felt like I was worth.
Wow.
And one of the ways I sort of tackled that is pretty early on understanding nobody particularly cares about me or my story or my situation. They care about how I intersect with them. So if I'm working for someone, back before I owned my own business, and I wanted to make more money, it was my job to come to them and present them with why it was in their best interest to pay me more money. And I think that that's one of the things that everyone can benefit from, just recognizing that mentality and being able to go into situations and articulate from the other person's perspective why it's in their best interest.
That's brave. We've had many conversations in the Women Shifting Gears community on imposter syndrome and that victim kind of mentality. And even the listening to you saying of just the confidence it takes to go in there, assured of yourself for that raise. When you're in those moments, how do you, I guess, calm that? How do you calm yourself for a conversation of that degree?
I'm eternally optimistic. So I never feel, in any scenario, I never feel concerned that the outcome is going to have a negative impact on me. For example, if, God forbid, something horrific happened on the track and somehow everything that we have built up here fell apart, there's no part of me that thinks I can't pick myself up and start over and be successful doing whatever I do next. I have full confidence in that because I am a vehement believer in the poetic principle, which means you find what you seek. So if you're looking in good for people, you find the good. If you're looking for the lessons, you find the lessons. If you're looking for happiness, it's my job to create my own happiness, and I know I'll find that. So I so fundamentally to the core believe that I think that gives me an incredible amount of strength.
Sounds like it's all about the vibes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's 100% mindset. It's 100% mindset. I agree.
When you talk about here, we mentioned at the top of the show that you are the CFO and the owner at Kelly Moss. Well, Kelly Moss is known for racing, over mm-hmm. 3 decades of expertise in that industry, also in the restoration side and customization of cars, specifically Porsches as well. I want to tackle on the racing side.
Sure.
3 decades of experience for this company. How telling is that in an industry like this?
Oh my gosh, it's very rare. And the beauty of that is there are people that have questioned because of our multiple championships. And, you know, one of the things that I'm most incredibly proud of is this last year, we had exactly 100 podiums, which is just incredible. And there are people that have said, oh, there must be some way that they're cheating or they've learned something. And I'll tell you, we work so hard. We are absolutely not afraid to do the hard work. When the 992s rolled into the United States and came to our shop, they arrived here at 12:30 at night. We were all hands on deck. Everybody was excited to be here in the middle of the night and physically touch those cars. We were the first people to take those cars on track. And you take that mentality that we are absolutely willing to work hard, and you add 30 years of statistics and data, and, you know, we just were able to capitalize on our success because, you know, we have so many data points, you know, at each of the tracks with the ambient temperature and the tire temperature, and, you know, every piece of data we were able to apply to all of that with all of those years of experience. You combine a lot of information and a lot of hard work, you increase your odds a lot.
You had a flower shop. You talked about your early businesses. Could you ever imagine that racing would find its way to you?
Oh my goodness, never in a million years. But what's funny about that is if you were to ask my father, he would say he would bet every single penny from who I was as a child that I would be an actress, a dancer, maybe a singer, something like that. And I ended up an accountant. I'm a managerial accountant, which couldn't possibly be more opposite. And that really had to do with, it was my awareness of opportunity. I didn't see anything else in the creative arts that was available to me in my sphere. And I say awareness because clearly it was there. It just didn't come into my trajectory. But what it did is it took somebody that was very creative and it threw this whole other type of skill set and made me learn to use both sides of my brain, which I think has been a big help for me just fundamentally in life because I'm innately creative, but I also am able to tap into the other side successfully.
I think what I find fascinating about that and you being a CFO is a lot of times, I think there might be a bit of a misconception with accountants and CFOs that everything's black and white. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the numbers, being able to apply a creative approach, how does that find opportunity for the business?
Well, for me, in lieu of, and I love numbers. I love I love the scorecard of your business, and I love being able to dissect it and determine how to maximize and how to make things better. But as I'm doing that, I see opportunity. You know, one of the other things that came last year was the launch of our Driver Academy. I was so proud of who we had become because diversification was incredibly important to me. So what used to happen when I first started here is basically we would shut down the shop and we would go racing. And then we would come back from the track and everybody would reprep the cars and take care of any damages that were done. I mean, we were primarily racing. And that felt incredibly dangerous to me in terms of having all your eggs in that basket. So we worked so hard to diversify and we developed this enormous project division. The off-road safaris were known all over the world for. We have a multi-year waiting list to do a build with us now. We have 120 high-end Porsche builds going on in our shop right now in Madison. I'm so proud of myself. Look at us. We really diversified. And COVID hit.
Yeah.
And we couldn't go to the racetrack and we couldn't turn a wrench here at the shop. And I said, well, we didn't diversify, did we? And so we had people completely chomping at the bit, stuck at home, desperately wanting to get out on the track or to get back with their builds and all of that. But I said, how can we extrapolate our knowledge and allow people to learn from home? So we developed the Driver Academy, which is 70 lessons that you can learn your racing line. You can learn, you know, trail breaking. You can understand completely how to learn a track from home so that when you get there, you're laser focused and you can totally maximize your time. Track time is expensive. And if you can get there and have more of your CPU available for the things that are dependent on the physicality of being at the track and having your subconscious already being able to process some of these other bits of racecraft, that is absolutely ideal. And we launched that very successfully in July. I was so proud of that, to have this whole other facet now, which is digital product.
I think I have to throw in this stat after what you just said. I read that you have grown the Kelly Moss business 350%. When you see that number, how does that reflect onto you?
I'm incredibly proud of everything that we have been able to do. At the same time, I'm very, very busy tactically. So, you know, there's so many different metamorphoses that take place with the growth. We all of a sudden went, oh, snap, we need to train our leaders here. We sort of had elevated people as we were growing into different positions and then realized we need to train our leaders. We need to be thinking about and talking about culture. We need to be modeling where we want to go in the future. There's this whole other gamut of skills that I needed to deep dive into in order to, we have to do what we do successfully, and we have to be mindful of growth. So that requires all kinds of different things that I've never known before, but I am constantly, much to my husband's chagrin, I am forever listening to podcasts and books, and I have an insatiable appetite to learn. So I love diving into all the new stuff.
Well, I wanted to celebrate your success quickly as we evolve into this conversation. But back to the success that you guys have found on the racetrack, as you mentioned, 100 podiums you hit this year, 6 different championships over the 3 decades of racing expertise. What's it like for you when you see your drivers achieve?
Oh my gosh, I am so emotional about all of it. It's hilarious. I'm the one that's just crying. You know, for me, just standing in the front of the field and looking out over this huge field and watching our team walk and not just wish good luck to the other people that are running, but genuinely to the core mean it. Having great competition on the track is how we grow. You know, walking away with a championship doesn't feel, you know, it doesn't feel the same as when you fight for it. Everybody wants a good fight. And so just the pride of seeing how our team interacts and genuinely feels about the other teams is incredibly prideful for me. But it's, you know, boy, it's a lot of fun. It's just a lot of fun to watch them struggle and succeed and grow. it's a wonderful experience to be at the track and actually feel that and be part of that energy.
In reading over the offerings to your drivers, you guys do this arrive and drive kind of setup. How does that help a racer focus just on his job being at that steering wheel?
Well, there's so many components to actually racing, and there's so much that happens behind the scenes that is not particularly glamorous or sexy. And so being able to provide a service where we can provide the very best coaches, where we can provide the very best engineers and data people, as well as take care of all of the little things that happen all around racing so that you can be focused for certain leads to success. And we pride ourselves on our driver development. And part of that driver development, again, is being able to have people be significantly pushed on track and then to be able to come in. And again, it's all about the numbers, right? Being able to look at the data and extrapolate what you can do better and how you can learn and grow. You know, the whole process leads to success.
When you talk about those, the driver coaches, who are some of the guys that you guys have established yourself with that help build this brand?
So we work very closely with Andrew Davis, who's just a wonderful human being. In addition, Alec Udell. And Alec and I work very closely on the Driver Academy. He's our primary trainer through the Driver Academy. So Alec and I are very close, and he's incredibly gifted. He's also an engineer. So he brings two different sides to the table, being a driver as well as an engineer. And in addition, you know, Jerome Bleekmolen, we have a great group of people. James Gouet is an amazing driver coach. So we try to be consistent with who we bring because we know that they fit into the culture, as well as some of our previous drivers, previous winners, and even our current drivers in the higher series often are able to come into some of the lower series and help with the coaching as well to give them that other side of training and development.
Well, these knowns are ones that are for people that may not be aware or that in depth in the sports car racing. These names are known throughout the sphere. So the idea that you guys are putting that kind of emphasis on the talent that you're instructing throughout the company. Well done.
Yeah. And we have, you know, our primary engineer, Chiel Bos, is from Holland. I mean, we bring our team comes from all over the country, or excuse me, all over the world to bring the best talent we can to the team when we go racing.
I want to transition over to the customization and the restoration side of the business you guys do. You talked about the Safari builds.
Yeah.
This is an audio only podcast, but this is a Porsche that is turned into a Safari build. Can you describe that for the listeners?
Sure. You know, and I'll be totally honest, I'll give you a little secret. The first time that we saw one, we were like, you want a what? Funny story, the woman that is actually here working for us now, who works in our marketing, her dad came to us. He's an avid hunter. He owns an archery company. He came to us and said, I got this Porsche and I want to put a roof rack on it and I want it lifted. I want to go out in the field and carry deer with it. And we said, what? Well, we're customer driven. So I guess if that's what you want to do, that particular build we did. And then it evolved into one of our other clients who was one of the founders of Facebook, saw it and wanted to do it. Not that this is new. I mean, the Safaris go way back, but it's the popularity certainly exploded when we did the build for the gentleman that was one of the founders of Facebook. He posted one picture on Instagram. Wow. And the next morning, I mean, he had thousands and thousands and thousands of people that were responding. The next morning, there were three different automotive companies that reporters that were wanting to talk to us about it. And I said, wow, this is a thing. So yeah. We immediately got busy focusing on that and did that successfully enough that we are now fairly well known around the world for our off-road Safaris. You know, the original ones were $200,000, you know, right around that range. And everything that we're doing now is $500-$600 plus for the off-road builds. People just love them. So it's amazing. I love the off-road builds because for me, the racetrack makes me nervous, just the speed and the walls and, you know, all of that. But you can take one of these cars, you know, in the desert, out on a frozen lake, and at 45 miles an hour, you get all the adrenaline and all the fun, but it's super safe.
Yeah,
so sure. I love playing in the safaris are awesome.
I imagine it would take quite a large outfit to be able to house all these cars or these builds. What kind of operation are you guys working out of?
So we have an 88,000 square foot facility in Madison, Wisconsin.
Yes, you do.
And we are completely busting at the seams.
Wow.
And so we, you know, in-house here, we have, besides the race shop and the body shop, we do all of our own interiors. We do our own engine work. We have our own graphics department. We do our own carbon fiber work. We try to keep as much as possible in-house so that we can control the timeline primarily, as well as obviously also the quality.
How many employees?
Our team is 100 now.
Wow. That's a large operation.
It is a large operation. Yeah. And it happened like all of a sudden we were like, hey, wow, we need HR and we should, I mean, all of the social media is, you know, me managing all of the accounting for the company. And then, you know, nights and weekends trying to get online and figure out how to do a post and, you know, that type of stuff. And eventually we evolved to having somebody that's able to help me with it. But a lot of it was, you know, trying to figure out how to capitalize on these crazy things that we do. Nobody was seeing what we were really doing here because we just didn't have time to capture it. We were so busy moving forward.
When you, as we move into this more of a hopefully post-pandemic world, and you look at the diversification at Kelly Moss from the racing to the restoration to these custom builds, how proud are you to see the success now?
I'm really proud, but I'm rarely satisfied. I mean, it's beautiful that you said, I want to celebrate the success, because one of the things that we really need to focus more on is just pausing for a moment and feeling that success. You know, we try to do that, but there's always so much going on that everything is so busy that it's hard to just take a step back and say, wow, we really did something amazing.
There's a quote that I came across probably in the last couple of years, and I'm sure it was in one of my yoga classes, but it was a quote that says, be where your feet are. And it's to emphasize that moment of being present in today and not so focused in tomorrow or in the past. And hearing that quote, and we talked before we started this podcast, you guys are turning away business.
Yes.
I would say you're successful.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean, now we have to sort of redefine our success in terms of, I want elated customers.
Yeah.
I want elated staff. I want everybody to feel the pride ultimately when they hear that the name of our company. And one of our clients was very wise to say, you've done an incredible job with what you've done with this company in the last couple of years. Now the big job comes in staying that way. So we are trying to, particularly for the staff, help them celebrate some of the success that's happening. But it's really hard to not say, but, but we need to be very cautious and make sure that we keep thinking outside the box and keep trying to delight our clients.
Well, I think what I find so interesting is for a long time, I started in automotive and motorsports back in 2015, and it was kind of this, oh, we don't know what the future is going to hold. This could be a dying industry. And I don't know what's happening, but it seems there's more vigor and excitement and renaissance happening in this space. Would you say you're seeing that from your perspective as well?
100%. In addition, there was this fear that, you know, concern about the age bracket.
Sure.
And that's not what we see at all either. Our builds are, you know, people that are in their 30s, and you know, it's not like this aging population that cares about cars. We're just not seeing it.
Well, as you assess the upcoming year from a racing side, what does 2022 look like for you guys?
2022 is going to be incredibly busy. We are very, very optimistic that we are going to be adding a brilliant, delightful, talented woman to our race team.
Okay.
So in addition, we have hired a woman engineer that I'm incredibly excited about as well. So for me, being able to reach out my hand, you know, I had said earlier, the reason I shifted careers or interests in my youth was it had everything to do with my awareness. And my hope for 2021, in addition to continuing to have the successes that we have experienced, is to increase awareness and opportunity for women when it comes to racing. I mean, ultimately, we're 50% of the population here. And depending on where you look, 3 or 4% of motorsports. And so ultimately, my goal is I want more drivers, I want more technicians, I want more engineers, just doing what we do well and being more vocal about it to raise awareness and opportunity is my hope for 2021 or 2022.
It's so early in the year. Sorry, I'm still writing 2021. Don't worry about it. when did it hit you that this was a problem, not seeing women in the driver's seat?
You know, I'm functionally so head down in what I'm doing that it had more to do with people saying to me, "What? You're in automotive and you're a female."
Yeah.
So, it sort of worked its way into my reality from people asking questions. And then the beautiful thing happened is, as nuts as off season is, my ability to raise my head up a little bit and take a look around and say, huh, there's something not right about what I'm seeing visually in the paddock. And then jeepers, Amanda, even 30 days ago, to say, holy cow, there's this podcast. And oh my gosh, have I binged. I have listened to every single episode and just become so impassioned with what all there is to do and how we go about doing it and lending my voice to that. Again, this was happening all along. It was my awareness that changed. And I truly believe that when you sort of look at everything that happened in our country in the last couple of years with regard to Black Lives Matter and all of the things that happened with regard to that, I believe that a change that has happened is there was this absolute awareness that happened that people said, oh no, if I'm not part of the solution, I'm part of the problem.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing that fundamentally with men with regard to women in motorsports. They weren't holding us down necessarily, but they weren't giving a hand up either. And they're now raising their hand saying, please help me help you be part of the solution, which means that now is this amazing, amazing opportunity for women in motorsports. I mean, when you think about the buying power of women and you look at the opportunity of a handful of incredible women that are wanting to go racing, just strictly from a sponsorship ROI opportunity, now's the time.
It's almost like it's always been the time because we've consistently been the ones making those buying decisions at home. And it's as you've said this word several times throughout the podcast, the self-awareness is now hitting individuals of, oh, wait, I can be a part of the solution to this.
Right.
I have to say thank you because I did see your review on our podcast. So appreciate that. And thank you for taking in the content. By the time this podcast airs, you will be a part of one of our virtuals for Women Shifting Gears. And you're going to be joined by the community of women that some of these podcasts you have listened to will be sitting on that interview. When you look at this connection between women, what is one kind of commonality you think we all share?
I think that absolutely across the board, it's a group of women that recognize the value in supporting each other. There's not any sense of competition in any way. This full recognition that if we join together and support each other, that our voice expands and that we can do amazing things. And I think that that's so energizing for everybody that I've experienced in this community. It's energizing.
Well, we can't wait to have your story shared with the group. And without a doubt, we will leave that energized as well. Victoria, thank you for being on the Women Shifting Gears podcast. You've survived that part of it. But since you've binged, you know it's coming your way. It is time for the hot lap. So you're headed on a road trip. Where are you headed?
I think I'm going to the Crown Rally.
Oh, okay. What are you driving?
Porsche 356.
You're in the left seat, of course, at the wheel. Who's your passenger?
If I am in the left seat, I'm going to just, you know, I'm just going to reach out to Oprah, I think.
I think she'd be a fantastic passenger.
I think that she'd be fun. It would be great to have deep conversation. And yeah, absolutely. I'm going for Oprah.
I'm pretty sure the world's problems would be solved by the end of it.
That's right. And a lot of laughter.
What's on the radio?
To be honest, for me, it's going to be some type of educational or inspirational podcast or book.
I like that. That's the first time we've had that answer, but it's true. A lot of people listen to podcasts and do those things in the car. I like that answer. Yeah. What's your road snack?
I would probably say short vanilla latte with light syrup.
Holler back that I'm all in on. Can I be your passenger?
Yes, of course you can. We can
be in the back. I'll be in the back seat with Oprah up front. That's fine. Well, I just want to look back at your journey and back to the beginning, and you know, this concept of failure, and a lot of times it keeps people stuck, and the fear of what others may think. And we mentioned the fail forward, and just looking at your journey and the process of learning everything about yourself in this evolution, why is it okay to fail?
Oh, because that's where all of the growth happens. I mean, it should be celebrated. It shouldn't be feared. It should be celebrated. It's a conversation that we have with our drivers when they have bad experiences on the track. This is where the hard work happens. This is where the growth happens. Embrace this.
She is Victoria Thomas, and she's the CFO and owner of Kelly Moss on your Women Shifting Gears podcast, driven by Hemmings. Thank you for listening to the Women Shifting Gears podcast, driven by Hemmings. Hemmings, your marketplace for the car collector enthusiast since 1954. This podcast is produced by GS Events.